This is the Reading Instruction Show. I'm your host, Dr. Andy Johnson. Topic today's show, Legitimate Professional Development for Teachers of Reading. Now, expert reading teachers have a specialized body of content knowledge related to reading. The International Literacy Association, they have a set of standards for literacy / reading specialists, and it describes knowledge in seven areas. I've adopted some of these and identified six types of knowledge required to be an expert reading teacher. But before you send me emails about how kindly old Miss Peterson taught kids to read for 35 years, let me clarify. Yes, you can be a very good teacher of reading to many children without having a fully developed knowledge in some of the six areas that I'll describe. But to be an expert reading teacher, one needs to be able to make the best decision for all students in all phases of literacy instruction. An expert reading teacher has the knowledge and skills to enable all children to develop their full literacy potential. This teacher prepares all students to be able to read, write, and think in the real world, to use literacy for authentic purposes in the real world. And this is far different from preparing them to take the next standardized test. Here are the six areas one needs to know, needs to have knowledge in. Number one, human literacy learning. This is theories of human learning and development related to literacy. Two, literacy processes. The processes used by the brain to create meaning with print and use print to create meaning from both a cognitive and neurocognitive perspective. Number three, literacy methods. The different methods or approaches to teach reading and writing. Number four, literacy pedagogy. These are the research-based strategies related to literacy learning and how and when to use them. Number five, literacy research, how to read research, as well as a familiarity with a wide body of literacy-related research. And last one, number six, literacy assessment and diagnosis. This includes such things as miscue analysis, running records, qualitative reading inventories, authentic assessments, as well as the strengths and limitations of standardized tests. Now, let me say that legitimate professional development for teachers is necessary. We don't create finished teaching products in three semesters of any teacher preparation program. Now, I use the word legitimate professional development to exclude programs and services that are profit-based. These are usually little more than infomercials disguised as professional development. Here, there is no check and balance. There is no blind peer review of the information provided, and only the information that supports their product or service is presented. Information that does not is not. The best example of this is Letters Professional Development for Teachers. There is no legitimate research provided to suggest that Letters A enhances students' reading achievement, B enhances teachers' ability to teach effectively, and C is more effective than other types of professional development. And remember, having elements that are supported by research doesn't make the program research-based. Every program has some element that can be supported by research. Now, with legitimate professional development for reading, you will very rarely encounter a magic method, formula, program, or product. Instead, legitimate professional development for reading instruction provides the six types of knowledge I just described. Teachers won't simply be given a list of pedagogical skills or a program to follow with fidelity. Instead, they'll be provided with an understanding of how all phases of literacy learning occurs, along supporting research-based theories and a variety of pedagogical skills that they can then adopt and adapt as needed. Effective professional development also enables teachers to develop their professional and knowledge and skills in the context of the classroom practice. Now, I recognize my own bias here, but good professional development still comes from accredited graduate programs in education where professors have spent significant time, our whole professional lives, immersed in research related to the field. Knowledge is important. These types of programs are usually aligned with the International Literacy Association standards and informed by a wide body of research-based knowledge in a variety of ways. But most importantly, this type of professional development is not influenced by motives. For example, when a legitimate graduate class is offered by a real professor, that professor is bound only by what a body of research has determined to be best practice. They don't get paid more for saying some things or not saying other things. And their courses continue to evolve. That is, as they continue to learn and do scholarly work, review research, and teach students, their knowledge base expands and their thinking changes on issues. This enables them to make significant changes from semester to semester or even from week to week. Now compare this with the rigid type of curriculum or programs offered by letters and their one-size-fits-all professional development. Here, the same information is presented in the same way, in the same order for years. It's done this way in California, Minnesota, Boston. Only when sales begin to slip will there be revisions. Now, what about professors who use their books in their courses, like you, like me? Aren't I making money off my books? That's a good question. Let's look at profit. In the field of education, professors who write books are rare. And that's because academic writing is hard work. It takes a lot of time and an enormous amount of thinking space. And most professors who work in teacher preparation programs have 3 or 4 classes to teach every semester. Besides, the time spent teaching 1 to 3 hours is typically necessary to prepare for each class period. They must also grade assignments, communicate with students, and provide service to the department, college, and field, blah, 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 blah. And to be relevant, they must continue to read and synthesize the latest research in the field and publish in academic journals. Writing a book like I have requires a great deal of time to think, plan, read research articles and related books, and take notes, and that's before the actual reading starts. Now, I'm able to do it because I don't have many interests outside of literacy instruction, except for playing the euphonium. But the truth is, I would make more money per hour working at a fast food restaurant than I do writing this book. Most professors earn very little for book royalties, and most colleges and universities have a system in place for getting approval when students are required to purchase their materials. Well, if you don't make money, why write books? Again, good question. 4 reasons. First, most often there is not an adequate textbook to use. They're too expensive, full of too much stuff, or don't contain the right information. And second, I write to contribute to the field. Hopefully, my ideas will add to the greater conversation in some small way. And third, it's part of my job. The state of Minnesota pays me to be curious about literacy things, to find out and then to write about them. That's called scholarship, scholarly work. And fourth, all people are not always motivated by money. Some people are motivated simply to do the right thing. And the field of education tends to attract these kinds of people. What about programs? Accredited graduate programs at universities can provide good professional development for teachers. And of course, accredited graduate programs differ in quality. And one of the ways to determine the quality of a graduate program is to look at the publishing record of the professors teaching in the program. Have they been published? Publishing books and journal articles requires that one read and synthesize the latest research in the field. If they've never published, what makes them relevant? What about the liberal agenda? Conservative pundits often accuse professors of pushing a liberal agenda. It's a liberal agenda. They're teaching the liberal agenda. I'm not quite sure what that is. What's an example of a liberal agenda? But just saying this is an example of anecdotal evidence and I think it comes. What is a liberal agenda? Define your terms. What specific things are said or done? And do you have any data to support a proposition that professors push a liberal agenda? Do you have any evidence to suggest that we brainwash students? I wish I was that powerful. If I had the power to brainwash students, they would certainly study more and they would start their assignments much earlier. Now, I've spent over 30 years in higher education, and I have yet to encounter a professor with a liberal agenda or one who brings politics into their courses. Must have a research-based agenda or a knowledge-based agenda. But even if I knew what a liberal agenda was, I simply don't have time or space in my courses to have a liberal agenda. Too many standards. So the last thing is action research. Action research is an effective, efficient, and economic way to tie research directly to classroom practice. Action research, defining my terms, is a systematic observation of some element of one's own teaching practice. Action research would serve to create learning that's specific to each teacher's classroom and enhance educational discourse, connect research directly to classroom practice, and generally improve the professional status of teachers. And I will be writing more about this in book number 2. This is the Reading Instruction Show. I am Dr. Andy Johnson.